Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Alarmy. Before we get started, we wanted to make sure you heard the big news. The Alarmist has joined Patreon. Patreon subscribers will get access to our content ad-free, as well as our Aftermath post-interview discussion and final verdict. We'll also be putting out additional bonus episodes and other fun stuff. Here's a preview of our Little Alarms series, only available on Patreon.
I'm curious to know why you are watching Rocky V. Is that like
It was at work and we were... It was an inspiration. It's okay. Rocky IV.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And okay, so maybe I was exaggerating. It looks like it's 9 minutes. It's 9 minutes.
All right.
So it's
That's still
15.
Very long.
Yeah.
Still really long. But I guess we're all fools here. Chris is wrong about the Rocky. It was Rocky IV. I don't know what you're talking about. And Rebecca over exaggerated the montage. So don't trust us for anything, guys.
you've learned that lesson. That's what you're if you're here, you've already learned that lesson.
Yeah.
True. The misinformation that was given in like a 30-second.
Yeah. Fast and loose with the facts. That's how we like it over here at The Alarmist.
Go to patreon.com/thealarmist and subscribe today. Now, on to our episode.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am The Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing The Toxic Lady. Here's what you need to know. A woman experiencing shortness of breath, irregular heartbeat, and a decrease in blood pressure was brought into Riverside General Hospital in Riverside, California on February 19th, 1994.
60 over pal, pulse 130 and weak respiration shallow.
Her name was Gloria Ramirez, and the events that transpired after she was admitted remain a medical mystery to this day. Gloria suffered from late-stage cervical cancer, but the vital signs that she was currently exhibiting were unusual. In order to try to stabilize her, she received oxygen and a standard combination of drugs to get her heartbeat to slow down. However, her condition declined, and the staff was forced to defibrillate her.
Clear!
It was then that they noticed strange things about Gloria. Her skin was slick and oily, and doctors and nurses observed a fruity, garlic-like scent coming from her mouth. One nurse, named Susan Kane, drew blood from Gloria and noticed the blood smelled like ammonia. There also appeared to be yellow-brown particles floating in the blood sample. After Nurse Kane handed the sample off to another technician, medical student Julie Gorchinsky, Nurse Kane fainted. Soon after, Gorchinsky felt severely nauseous and left the room. She would then experience muscle spasms and irregular breathing. Both nurses also complained of a burning sensation in their face. Then, when a third nurse fainted, Umberto Ochoa, the doctor in charge of the emergency room, told everyone to evacuate to the parking lot and to seal off the area where they were working on Gloria. A skeleton staff stayed behind to help Ramirez, but after several minutes of CPR, she was declared dead. Out of a fear that they were exposed to a toxic chemical, the staff stripped to their underwear, piled their clothes in plastic bags, and got hosed down. A special team in hazmat suits entered Gloria's room and performed a test for poisonous toxins or other foreign substances, but nothing turned up. Coroners performed 3 autopsies, but they were unable to determine any convincing rationale for the events that took place. Consequently, Patrick Grant, a nuclear chemist at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory's Forensic Science Center, looked into samples of Gloria's tissue and blood and uncovered unusual chemicals. The most suspicious one he found was dimethyl sulfone, or DMSO. DMSO alone is not harmful to people, but the lab posited that the DMSO reacted to the oxygen Gloria was given in the ambulance and formed dimethyl sulfate, a chemical that is toxic to humans. Many scientists and doctors have stated that this theory is bogus, and the Lawrence Livermore scientists can't prove that this is what happened. All they can do is say that it's the likely cause of the strange and scary case of Gloria Ramirez, the toxic woman.
They said it was the smell of death.
Fun facts, aka death stats. Gloria passed away only 40 minutes after arriving at Riverside Hospital. Officials conducted 3 autopsies after Gloria died, 1 6 days after her death, and the last right before her burial. County officials released the body 2 months after Gloria died for a proper funeral due to toxicity levels and fears that people would faint or pass out. Of the 20 symptoms described by medical staff, 19 of them match symptoms of people exposed to dimethyl sulfate vapors. 23 of the 37 emergency room staff members experienced at least one symptom. 5 were hospitalized for the rest of the night. 1 remained in intensive care for 2 weeks. While there are many possible theories about what happened in the ER, the incident is still considered an unsolved mystery. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And our very special guest today is director Thales Correa. Did I get that right?
Oh, you got perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Oh my God, we're so excited to have you. I just want to tell our listeners to check out your series, Doggy Bank, which is now on Amazon. Can you tell them a little bit about the show?
Yeah, of course. Doggy Bank is a dark comedy about this goofy slacker who is an Uber driver. And he ended up babysitting a pamper pooch from this millionaire that is about to die and leave everything to his dog. Ooh. So
amazing.
Exactly. What kind of dog was it?
It's a Shih Tzu.
Shih Tzu, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. And then it became the first Brazilian comedy in English to stream on an American, you know, major streaming
service. Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
So we'd like to start off the show by asking our guests, what is something that's recently alarming you? What's something that's keeping you up at night?
Something that is alarming me and keeping up at night is Taylor Swift in Brazil.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you guys heard what happened.
Yes.
But she was with her, you know, largest tour ever, popped up in Brazil. And there was just this series of bizarre stuff happening, which might tie up in our topic today, which was like it's a hot day in Brazil. It's a hot weather now, right? Because we have like reverse summertime than America. And it was one of the hottest days. She was in Rio doing one of her shows of her tour. And it was extremely hot. And then one of her fans, like, they were having her time passing water around. Apparently the production company was charging a lot of money, and it didn't even have enough water either.
Oh gosh.
Oh God. One this feels like fans. A future episode.
I know it does.
Oh, completely. Yeah. It could totally be, but one of her fans passed out and died.
Oh my God.
Yes.
That was it, right? That was shocking enough. And then the next day, you know, that's a lot to wrap our heads around, because it tells about like the fanatism, like how much fans goes through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because the next day it was packed again and everybody's trying to see her, and the fans, they make lines for like days, like to try to get the spot. And then in the heat that was like abnormally hot day, also can talk about climate change, all that kind of thing.
Right.
The fans were waiting for the next show, and then their legs burning, you know, when they're like heating up the stands or those mat structure, like, they couldn't get water again. And then 1 hour before that second concert, she canceled because of the heat. And then fans got pissed because they're like, well, we're already being whole day. All we needed was the concert to just be like, okay, end of the line. And then she postponed it for, I think it was like on the weekend, she postponed it for Monday. Okay. And Brazil is a huge country, so a lot of people were coming from like the extremes part of the country to go watch her. And then they're like, what the hell? Like, I cannot stay for more 2 days to wait for this concert. It was very frustrating. Mm.
Yes, I think we should perfectly, seamlessly transition. Yeah,
from that.
I mean, another very tragic event that we're discussing that I don't know about you guys, but I had not heard about this particular case.
But since I have heard about it, it's been living in my dreams. I'll tell you that right now. I can't get it out of my head.
A very bizarre scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, I think we should, just to start off, let's put natural causes related to her cancer up on the board. It's not confirmed. I mean, this is what the autopsy, what they determined
that the death
during
was
yes during the death. Autopsy. Right. Now, whether this is the actual case, TBD, but we should discuss at least, because she did have cancer. It was it had progressed. Mm-hmm. She had just found out that she had cancer and was about to start treatment for it. This is from the Washington Post. A mother of two children, Gloria Ramirez, had been undergoing treatment for cervical cancer for 6 weeks when she complained of nausea and began vomiting on February 19. Now, I'm just going to pause there because there are disparate accounts here. Some people say that she hadn't started the cancer treatment. Other people say that she had already. Other publications say that she had. There's a lot of misinformation, I think, surrounding this case. So
right,
stories like this get sort of repeated on the internet like over and over and over.
Yes. And then so like the facts get bent a
little. You lose facts in there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're trying to go with the most trusted sources that we know, but who knows what they know?
Great start, you guys.
So stay tuned. Stay with us.
Okay, we'll continue with this article from the Washington Post. Maggie Ramirez Garcia said she believed her sister had begun chemotherapy or radiation treatment the week she died. The cancer was advanced, Ramirez Garcia said, but was not supposed to be fatal. Ramirez's boyfriend, Johnny Estrada, said he called for an ambulance about 8 p.m. because she was having trouble breathing. At the hospital a few minutes later, the bizarre sequence of events began. Deputy Coroner Cupido stressed that she died from natural causes. Today, he could not explain the conflicting statements. He also could not explain the odor described by the workers, but said, quote, no external toxic substance was found in Ramirez. Neither group was prepared to offer a conclusion about why the hospital workers collapsed that night. But when county spokesman DeSantis was asked if the county would continue its investigation, he responded, it's finished. So a lot of mystery and controversy surrounding how the authorities really handled this autopsy and the investigation after the very mysterious and what must have been extremely scary incident at in the ER at the hospital. I mean, imagine you're a nurse or you're an employee in the ER. You're used to emergencies, obviously. You work at an ER. But when you are now the ones, like now your co-workers and the doctors and the nurses are the ones who are being affected and are needing care, that has to be very scary.
It is. It does. I mean, it's maybe like a little on the nose because you said it was inspired an actual episode, but it does seem like something right out of television. Like it's so like dramatically fast, you know, like for it to happen in that way, like is this a chemical, is this like a crazy new virus? Like your mind I think goes to like all these extremes that we're so used to seeing on cinema that are so dramatic that it's like how, what is happening in like such quick real-time moments? Must have been very bizarre for the hospital people.
When you're reading this, I mean, not hammering on the writing again, but like your mind, I mean, it is based in a real life. It is a real life story. And then, you know, so it's kind of like we had to be careful to make assumptions. But like when you're a writer, creative, like when you're reading like such a mysterious story like this, like your mind started like just plopping ideas more of like, what would, like, this is an incredible story. What would be, you know, like the solution or and even though there is no, it's an unsolved mystery, how would we, you know what I mean, make something interesting?
Absolutely.
My mind went crazy. I mean, just respecting the victims and everything, but I went thinking about like alien abductions.
It's great that you said that because
you're not the only one.
No, yes. And honestly, I believe that's what the X-Files episode was about. Sorry, spoiler. But
if you haven't seen season one of X-Files yet,
but I believe it was that they was it Scully or one of them gets infected with alien DNA and they start become. And they become toxic. And
sure.
Especially when you get like unsolved cases that kind of get buried a little bit, like your conspiracy theory brain keeps like, like why people just shove it? Like, cause it's not widely known, right? It's like, it's just like, so that's why I'm surprised you guys bring it up to light.
But people need to know.
Yeah.
Well, let's put aliens up on the board just so that we cover all of our bases.
You never know. It could be.
Especially like you remember when someone in the government just said something about, oh, aliens and also everybody just like brought, like, you know, just ignored it.
Yeah. Aliens have been in the FBI have released UFO footage or stuff it can't be explained. Is that what you're referring to? And then there was a hearing about it and somebody said, there was non-human, non-terrestrial flesh or something.
And we don't seem to care about it.
Everyone was like,
nobody cared about it.
Tuesday.
Well, so, I mean, we'll at least put it up on the board. You guys.
Okay.
It's probably not that.
We're not going to we're not going to go there.
We're not going to go there, but
we get it up there and get it out of the way. I'm more interested in the sort of, I don't know how you guys did in chemistry. I did very, very bad in chemistry.
Oh, yeah. So bad. School. And we are going to be talking about chemistry. So just imagine people who didn't do well in chemistry talking about chemistry.
Great.
Yep.
This is going to be wonderful.
Get ready for it.
Before we talk about the chemistry, though, we do have to put another theory that the authorities said was the possible cause of this.
This is depressing if it's where I
was going to put up stress-induced mass hysteria.
Right.
Mass hysteria. Yeah. So
about the hospital workers?
They were
the
one.
Okay.
Yeah. Now this moving off of the cause of death and the cause of the toxicity. We're now moving on to what caused the hospital workers to become sick.
Yes. Okay. So let's
because there's two
like a
things.
Placebo.
Right.
Instead of medication, a placebo.
It's a exactly bad placebo, basically.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that though.
Because get upset.
Yeah.
this is from History Defined. The first likely cause of the incident was deemed to be mass hysteria, a mental illness that causes symptoms to spread amongst a group of people, even if there is no infectious agent involved. The California Health and Human Services Agency determined that mass hysteria had overtaken the hospital staff and that this and that is still the official reason behind the incident, even if the staff vehemently denies it to this day. This is from All That's Interesting. Julie Gorchinsky, the medical resident that had lost consciousness after handling a syringe with blood from Gloria Ramirez, disagreed with the official findings. She did not believe that mass hysteria was to blame whatsoever. Julie pointed to her pre-incident health record, which was basically spotless. However, following the incident in the emergency room, she had developed a number of medical issues. She would spend approximately 2 weeks in intensive care with breathing issues and eventually developed hepatitis, as well as a vascular necrosis in her knees, all of which happened in a very short period of time. So very real ailments occurring after this. But I just want to say, again, we said this earlier, but these are trained professionals who work in the emergency room, and they're not going to just, this isn't like the first heart attack to someone with palpitations coming into the ER. This is not the first time they're encountering this scenario.
But I've read stuff about like this type of like mass contagious thing, like your brain start trying to believe what was presented to him. But again, I think the argument of them being professional, trained to deal with a high stress situation, I think is stronger.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just going to say, whenever Rebecca has a headache or like a backache, I'm usually like, it's probably just mass hysteria. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, a case of blaming the victim, right?
And her reaction to that is usually very placid and like, oh yeah, no, that's a good point. I didn't think that it was that it was mass hysteria. Like, but it probably is. And
it's
that
so insulting. It really is so insulting to not just these professionals, but also these women who are professionals. You know, like, what is the Salem? Like, is the Salem witch trials?
There's like argument to be made if it was like, more like PTSD, if like it was like a particularly rough day in the ER and there were some really gruesome things coming in and maybe they were just like at the end of their shift and exhausted. But like this seems like you said, Rebecca, it was like a pretty routine ailment. You know, it's not the first time that they've dealt with someone who was having heart palpitations. And the physical side of it is the mystery.
Yeah. I was just confirming it's not even like a it was like the blood start smelling weird, right? It wasn't that the most like, you know what I mean, a group or nurse
that's true. That's a good point. I mean, that should definitely be factored in as well. You know, one of the things when we were doing our research came across was that part of the calculation that they used to determine it was mass hysteria was that most of it happened to women.
Yes.
So should
exactly double so double put, insult.
Do we put sexism on the board?
Should we put sure. a new kind of sexism, forensic sexism on the
forensic.
Board?
Forensic. I like
this
that.
This word hysteria is not a very good word, and is it's been attached in a bad, written a very bad connotation for women.
Oh yeah,
I feel like we shouldn't give it any more time.
It's already a bad sign. Sorry.
Yeah. you were saying, Clayton?
I said I don't think we should give it any more of our time to this episode. I think we should just move right on.
That's great. I love that. Let's talk about the hospital and the hospital conditions. They were actually, it's possible that we should put bad ventilation up on the board.
Okay.
Okay.
This is from All That's Interesting. The women's family was incensed. Her sister blamed deplorable conditions at the hospital for the death. Although the facility was cited for violations in the past, there was nothing in the county's investigation that pointed to conditions in the hospital being at fault. This is from the Washington Post. Riverside General has a history of problems with ventilation in patient treatment areas, including the emergency room, according to state workplace safety records. In April 1993, the California Occupational Safety and Health Administration notified Riverside General that the first floor emergency room was permeated with sewer gas from a drain. The hospital also was cited in 1991 when two employees sought medical treatment after a possible leak of a hazardous gas from a sterilizer. In 1992, the hospital was notified that an inspection found algae growing in a water reservoir. Thomas DeSantis, a county spokesman, acknowledged some previous ventilation problems, but said the emergency room's vents were checked by several independent inspectors as a result of the February 19 incident, and the hospital was given a clean bill of health. So the records show that there has been problems with the ventilation in this hospital. But of course, the county spokesman is like, no, it's very good.
This is where, if it went to like a full legal trial, you'd have lawyers asking for every message and email that was sent between now, and you'd start to really find.
My only thing about this is because there was only Gloria Ramirez that faced that problem. I think if it was a hospital thing, it would have more than one victim, because is she the only one on that room or has been on that room? There's something in the water. It's probably years that's been this problem's been going on.
That's true.
That's a good point.
I also think though that we have those grading systems for restaurants, where you see the little A or the B or the C. Maybe not a bad thought to have that one of those on a hospital.
Hospital.
Right?
I mean, it's all just like word of mouth. Everyone knows that's the best hospital in town, but like there's no like official.
But also you. And that's word of mouth.
Yeah, Yelp review hospital. Yeah, you don't check the Yelp.
Honestly, I would
hospitals.
Seriously consider those ratings.
I do reviews for doctors and stuff. That's important.
Oh, yeah.
I do
yeah.
for pharmacists because I had a lot of problem with pharmacists.
Wow. Okay. I feel like we should all let's put the hospital up on the board.
Okay.
Because I know that we're it's unclear if they were actually the cause of the death, but perhaps it had something to do.
Is it Riverside
with how
Hospital?
They handled it?
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah. Riverside General.
Okay.
This is from Washington Post again. The Ramirez family contends the hospital has portrayed Gloria Ramirez as a toxic monster to conceal its own possible culpability in her death. I honestly believe my sister may have lived if she hadn't gone into that emergency room that night, said Ramirez Garcia. I don't know what the county is afraid of, but we want answers. A noted forensic pathologist not involved in this case commented that the hospital's original version of events was very interested and very misguided. There's no way fumes can come out of a body and hurt people. That idea went out with the Dark Ages, says Michael Baden, former chief examiner, medical examiner for New York City, in a telephone interview. This kind of thing gives death a bad name. Dead bodies don't make people sick. So. Yeah.
Well, you studied the plague. We've done an episode on the plague, and they used to wear those
those the old fashioned masks when they would.
Oh yeah, that looked like birds.
Make yeah, them that look looked like birds. Those doctors. That's what the doctors wore during the plague. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it does harken back to that. Definitely the Middle Ages. it's
yeah.
It's pretty. Yeah.
But it was more than one nurse, right?
Yes, like, yeah. Absolutely.
Also, it just feels like it's so specific. Like, I don't know. Like, it would this be happening more often if?
Yeah.
Exactly.
If why would they? Kind of, why would they come up with like some? If it was a lie, because I think they're saying that it was a lie, right? Like the body couldn't produce that kind of thing. So what they're coming, like they're making that up, like the nurses.
Right.
If it was one, I could be like, oh, they probably did a bad job in trying to justify. But more than one, like I think is very unlikely that they would come together as like, hey, let's say that it was this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, right. I don't think it's a conspiracy either. I would agree, Talis.
And it all happened very, very fast.
Yeah, it all happened very fast too. Like the timing's also very.
By the time I believe they called the ambulance at 8 p.m. and Gloria had passed away by something like 8:50 p.m. Like right. There wasn't a lot of time. Mm.
And so they like were within already, an hour, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're already passing out before she died, right? Like when they're dealing with when they're treating. So
which even, that's the tragedy too. They're trying to literally help her, like they could have saved her, but they were passing out because of whatever's going on.
Yeah.
So they were trying to help her while she was still alive. So what he said about, oh, don't fear the dead body was like, no, but she was still alive when they were trying to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm.
We have to talk about chemistry now.
Oh, no.
Let's get into it.
No, please. Everyone put on your. To?
Yeah.
I used to like it when I was a kid.
Okay, well, maybe you can help us then, Talis, because here we go.
But I don't remember anything, but let's go.
Oh, perfect. we should put up on the board dimethyl sulfone.
Dimethyl sulfone.
Yeah, not a cell phone. No. Sulfone.
No. S-U-L-F-O-N-E. Okay. And it's also known as DMSO. This is from Discover Magazine. A third odd chemical signal defied being pigeonholed as either trivial or important. Dimethyl sulfone. Dimethyl sulfone is a molecule composed of one sulfur atom, two carbons, six hydrogens, and two oxygens. It is manufactured as an industrial solvent, but it is also sometimes produced naturally in our bodies from amino acids that can contain sulfur. Broken down by the liver, dimethyl sulfone has a half-life in the body of less than 3 days. So healthy people never have measurable amounts in their system. But in Ramirez's blood and tissue, there was a hefty concentration of tens of micrograms per milliliter, about three times higher than the codeine in the samples. At this point in the mystery, the only unusual thing we're seeing is dimethyl sulfone, says Anderson. But dimethyl sulfone itself couldn't knock out an emergency room. So when Anderson flew to Riverside on April 12th to brief the coroner, his conclusion was that he had found nothing that looked like a poison. Anderson recalls some anxious questioning by the coroner's office in hopes of finding a smoking gun, but he insisted that it appeared Ramirez had simply taken a lot of codeine and Tylenol, which in large sustained doses can damage the liver. He also highlighted the findings that had intrigued him. The amine that might have caused the ammonia-like odor, the nicotinamide, and the dimethyl sulfone. There clearly was something unusual going on, but nothing that could have resulted in Ramirez's death or the emergency room symptoms. He was discouraged, I remember thinking, he could spend this much time and not find anything. So the mystery continues, everyone. Mm. Now let's continue reading this because I think this is a history of DMSO.
Okay.
This is from All That's Interesting. Ramirez covered her skin from head to toe in DMSO, or dimethyl sulfone, as a possible way to cure her late-stage cervical cancer. Medical science labeled DMSO a toxic substance in 1965. The reason for Ramirez's use of a toxic substance on her skin goes back to when DMSO was all the rage as a cure-all. Research in the early 1960s led doctors to believe that DMSO could relieve pain and reduce anxiety. Athletes would even rub DMSO cream on their skin to try to relieve aches in muscles. Then a study in mice showed DMSO could ruin your eyesight. The fad of DMSO stopped for the most part. DMSO gained an underground following as a cure-all for many types of ailments. By the late 1970s, the only way to get the substance was as a degreaser in hardware stores.
Right.
The DMSO found in degreasers was 99% pure, as opposed to a less concentrated form that was in muscle creams in the 1960s.
Oh, wow. Okay,
so just to do a recap here. In the 1960s, DMSO is popular. People are using it. They're selling it as a cream, and it's like 50% DMSO, right? So
or less.
Or less, yeah. But it was outlawed because in the 70s, you know, they're like, oh, you might lose your eyesight. So people stopped using it, and they took it off the shelves as a cream.
Right.
But it's still being used as a degreaser in hard and being sold right. in hardware stores. But this version is very pure. It's a 99%.
Right.
So it's possible that what she obtained was like the highest level right. of DMSO. Yeah.
She was using the pure stuff that you would get, you would use in utility.
It's possible.
Sort of form.
And she was, they believe that she was definitely using it.
Right. Right. Because it showed up in her yeah. tests yeah. later.
Yeah, it showed over her test, but but it seems to is that very toxic to people if they inhale? That's what I'm because it
no. So that's where it gets crazy. Is that yes. although that's not the what's toxic to people what they inhale? What do you want to continue with?
Yes. So what happened was they believe perhaps during the ambulance she was given oxygen, and when when you add like something like one oxygen to this chemical, there was a potentially a reaction in her body and it became
dimethyl sulfate. Sulfate, right?
Yes. Oh. So it turned into a different chemical, which
is toxic. Right.
Oh, I see.
The question is the problem that scientists had with this is that they've never seen the body react this way. So
right.
the reaction happened like inside of her body. So we don't know temperatures. We don't know. This is where the mystery comes. Like how right. did this chemical turn into this other chemical inside this woman's body?
So a lot to put up on the board. But before we get into that, we just should put up on the board the use of DMSO, assuming that this is part of what caused this reaction.
Yeah.
The use of this pure DMSO, like the or use this concentrated?
Yes, I think that's one thing. So I don't know how you would phrase that, but using not homeopathic, but it's like
yeah.
using alternative medicine. You just put alternative.
It's also, stuff that has been actually not experimented, but like they did research, has been researched in a lab and has shown that it's not good for you.
Yeah, right? So that's another thing I think we should put up on the board for
what,
sure.
Like outdated medical practice. It's like, what is that?
It could have also been like generational. Perhaps her mother used this while she was. Or her, I don't know why I'm blaming her mother, but you know what I mean? Like someone she knew.
It was just,
someone she knew had used this in the 60s. It's not that, and older generations could be like,
I can totally
parents.
See that happening.
Yeah.
It's like
it's like baby
my big
powder.
Fat Greek yes. wedding. They say that you put Windex
on
everything.
Yes. But it's one of those things where it's like, there are a lot of medicines out there that we have been using that come to find out it actually causes cancer. So we should stop using that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And Tylenol itself taken in excess is highly lethal,
Yes.
Like, that's just part of the medical reality.
This is Vicks to cure anything, depression.
I was going to say that, Thales. Yeah. Like Vicks vapor rub, which we call Vicks Vaporub.
Vicks Vaporub. Yeah. And then it inhales like a very intense, right?
Yes.
Like, yeah.
It feels like you're, yeah. I do. I associate it with recovery, like, I'm going to feel better soon.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand much about chemistry after hearing all of your...
Yeah, problems. Fair.
Yeah, that's I
fair.
Don't know anything about chemistry, but I lean to tend to trust more any science, scientific...
Right.
Yeah. And it do sound... It do sound kind of accurate. My boyfriend is a biologist, so he works with...
Oh. So he should... We could... He could be our guest expert.
Where's your boyfriend when we need him?
Yeah, exactly. But he tells me stuff like he's doing like a master's right now, so he's studying a lot. And then he tells me like stuff about DNA, RNA, like how a protein gets attached to another protein and becomes something else, that it almost sounds like magic, but it's science. And they do that.
Right,
they do that, like, to, you know, like the, like, for example, the vaccines from, you know, from COVID, yeah, like how they were like experiment, how like a transform it, all this kind of thing. So it does sound accurate when you read, even though like, you
I
know,
I love describing science as magic. Right. You're right. If you don't understand it, it really does feel like magic.
But it does. It does. Like if you study a little bit, or if you read a little bit scientific things that are approved, then it is already in test. Like some things are like that. Like you put one chemical to another, they get together and transform into something else. So
it's interesting that, like, this, you know, this, because it seems so like biological, chemical, scientific, like instead of just leaning into the scientific process, and maybe we didn't have like all that, we couldn't do the proper test, that we just go to, oh, it was hysteria. You know, we can't really explain it. So it was an emotional thing that they were just like, that's what it is. And people kind of buy that instead of like, well, let's follow the science. Like,
yeah,
it's easier to understand too.
Unfortunately, we are running out of time, but yes. I feel like we have a good board. Let's take a quick break and then we'll start knocking things off the board.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, who is to blame for the death and events surrounding the death of the toxic lady, Gloria Ramirez? Is it natural causes related to cancer, aliens, stress-induced mass hysteria, forensic sexism, bad ventilation, poor hospital conditions, Riverside General Hospital, dimethyl sulfone, the use of concentrated DMSO, outdated medical treatments and products?
Well, we got a long list. I didn't even
And I don't know. I feel like it's time we took aliens off the board.
Yeah. And, thanks for saying that. I was about to.
Yeah. Yeah. And stress-induced mass hysteria.
Yes, I think we can take that off the board.
I think one of the medical staff had gotten all kinds of osteoporosis, and she
Really?
Yeah,
the knee. She had an issue with her knee, and she had to learn how to walk again.
Were real physical things that happened.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
Don't buy it at all.
Then after that, I also think that the natural causes related to the cancer.
This seems like really too natural. Like what? All of a sudden, your body to become toxic and make other people have a reaction to it.
Yeah, I think we can take that off the board.
Yeah,
I would also take forensic sexism off the board.
No, I like that a lot.
But I know you do, but it has nothing to do.
It has nothing to do with what happened. That's just the reaction, though.
The events, I see.
Right? It has to do with the
but
the,
maybe we can slap it.
We're basically saying like the coroners were sexist in saying that the.
Whoever came up with that theory.
The hysteria thing, yeah.
Yeah. I think we should keep it up on the board because maybe it'll be a slap.
Okay. Okay.
Bad ventilation and the poor hospital conditions. Talis made a good point where it was just this one incident.
Just this one time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it didn't help. Maybe it was the perfect storm. Maybe this happened in a room that had bad ventilation, which made the situation worse. Mm. It's possible.
I don't know. I guess so.
It's like their word versus our. It's like a lot of speculation. It's hard to. Yeah.
I think if you were the staff and the nurses would be the first one to complain, because if I'm working on a building that is not, I'm not gonna be like covering up for them. It was just like give me my insurance. You guys effed it up, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That
wouldn't blame on the victim.
So do we take all those off, all three of these?
I do think so. I mean, we can maybe keep the hospital just, but I don't know. I mean.
The hospital could get a slap for the way they dealt with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sure.
I mean, because there was also, there were issues with how they handled the evidence after the fact. So, for instance, the blood sample that was taken from Gloria that smelled like ammonia and that had looked like it had like these crystals in it. Mm-hmm. Somehow was lost and was never.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Yeah. And also the clothing that everyone, like the gowns that people were wearing that they
took
off.
It, didn't they?
Yeah, they sent it. They down? Like put it or something like they put it in a bag, like one of those red bags that they put toxic.
You see all those little facts that you're mentioning, like the crystals in the blood, the fact that, it looks like there was a little bit of covering up. That brings me to the aliens again.
Sure, back to the aliens.
Okay, Talis. No.
That's a good episode of TV.
You're acting hysterical.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm feeling hysterical too now.
I'm going to go to X-File after.
So let's keep the hospital up on the board, I think, for that reason.
Okay.
The use of concentrated DMSO. Yeah,
that's the winner for me.
Yeah.
You know, I have a feeling about this board, which I'm just going to throw out there. I think we should, on this rare occasion, not put anything in the alarmist jail. And I think we should deliver two slaps instead, two second places for things we don't like, only because there's just not enough evidence for us to be able to convict any of these.
Interesting.
What do you think about that?
There definitely is not enough evidence. I mean, if this was a real trial,
it would be a mistrial.
I don't think the jury could really. If I was part of the jury, I don't think I could, positively point the finger in any direction.
Right.
This is unprecedented. Mm. I blame Talis.
Hey, guys, you got me. Riverside.
We brought you here today.
Yeah.
So we're not going to, you know what, though, maybe a guest expert could potentially... help give us more information, and then we could later put something or someone in jail. But
I mean, we could also just put forensic sexism in jail just because.
Just because
here's what I do think. I think if we're talking about the post death investigation and the post illness mystery investigation, I feel like that was not helpful in and it really delayed everything.
Okay.
So it didn't help us find an answer, whether it was the hospital, whether it was this strange chemical
reaction
yeah. that occurred. Yeah.
But here's my counter to this, is that there is evidence, isn't there, of things like mass hysteria happening to people. Like, that is part of a calculation that a rational scientist would come up with for.
Yes, but to counter that, when there have been cases of mass hysteria, these people were tested, right? The people who were kept mm-hmm. in the emergency room after the incident were tested and had very real ailments. Like, yeah. if no, mass hysteria doesn't really give you inflamed like pancreas or like an inflamed liver or hepatitis, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like we should do more like mass hysteria too, like, is like the psychology of that, is it just seems like this was isolated to like a specific ER room. Like, couldn't it then yeah. spread throughout the hospital if there was mass hysteria? Like, I don't know. Like,
and also, at which point did they just stop investigating? That's what what I'm on the post, you know, that you mentioned. That's probably forensic sexism comes to play, because they're like, you know, it must be this or that, but it's too hard. Let's just close the file and move on. You
right.
know?
And there's a history of people not believing women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I think we send forensic sexism to the alarmist jail, not for Gloria's death, but for how the case was handled.
Okay.
Just while we have them in custody, we're going to yes, put them we might in jail, as well. And we're going to come up with charges later.
And then yes. who or what do we slap then? What do we want to give the big slap to?
Then that becomes hard.
Right.
What does the slap mean? Sorry about that.
Oh, the slap is basically second place.
Yeah, it's like a runner-up. Mm-hmm.
I would put the DMSO.
DMSO. I'm with you. I think Tellus is right.
The concentrated?
Yeah. I think the physical use of the concentrated DMSO is more to blame.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the fact that they used like a bigger amount in her mouth.
Yeah. Which is probably what happened.
Because
again,
I went
we
back and
know,
looked it up. There was it was 25% concentrate back when it was topical in the 60s.
Yeah.
When
I see. So it was, yeah.
But I think they should make more tests after they, you know, discover that and to see what's going on, because it probably could be something else later. But then the forensic check doesn't prevent them to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. I'm going to call it. The use of concentrated DMSO, you're getting the big slap. Forensic sexism, you're going to the alarmist jail. Can't wait to have a guest expert on this one.
Yeah, right.
This will be interesting. It'll be interesting to see where we come down after it. But we got forensic sexism in jail. So
that, yeah. Tellus, thank you so much for joining us today and helping us figure this one out. It was a tough one.
It's a very tough one. So I'm glad you guys brought me in and had this conversation. That was really fun. I appreciate you having me.
In the aftermath, despite a massive investigation and conflicting theories, it remains plausible, though not certain, that a chemical reaction took place inside Gloria's body, essentially making her toxic. The findings made by Patrick Grant and the Lawrence Livermore Forensic Center have since been evaluated, peer-reviewed, and published by Forensic Science International.
The Alarmist is now on Patreon. Subscribe and get ad-free content along with bonus episodes. Go to patreon.com/thealarmist or check out the link in our show description. Visit our website, www.thealarmistpodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram, @thealarmistpodcast, and on Twitter, @alarmistthe. You can also send us your thoughts via email to thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Today's episode was produced and engineered by Clinton Early, with editing by Molly Hockey, and fact-checking by Chris Smith. Thank you to our associate producer and researcher, Crystal Dinsberg. The Alarmist is executive produced by Rebecca Delgado-Smith. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. The Alarmist.
Powered by Acast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready for truly hydrated skin? Meet Hyaluronic Body Serum, a breakthrough in body care from Osea. It's clinically proven to instantly increase hydration by 161%. Their lightweight, fast-absorbing serum delivers 24 hours of nonstop hydration for silky, smooth skin without the sticky afterfeel. Osea's latest innovation combines the magic of their best-selling Hyaluronic C Serum with a new formula that's good for the whole body, and 5 types of hyaluronic acid to target every layer of the skin. Osea is a woman-founded, women-led brand that's been crafting seaweed-powered products for nearly 30 years. The best part? Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.